You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Arrest this killer. He killed this child in cold blood.
To assume that you can go around intimidating and be covered under this law, absolutely not.
How many of you ever used an Etch-a-Sketch when you were kids?
Well, that should be comforting to all of you who are voting that whoever you're going to vote for is going to be a completely new candidate.
My children had Etch-a-Sketches. They were great for car rides.
Oh, my God. Regarding Tebow.
Happy Hunger Games. And may the odds be ever in your favor.
So good week for Hunger Games and Etch-a-Sketch. Not so much for the rest of those stories there that you heard. Let's follow the week with our terrific panel, Ibrahim Abdelmateen, Takeaway sports contributor and a friend of the Takeaway. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good day.
Ron Christie, as always, Takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist, also in the studio.
Top of the morning to you.
And LaToya Peterson, editor of Racial Issues. Haven't talked to you for a while, LaToya.
I know. It's been a while.
Well, to all three of you, and welcome. And this has been an amazing week. Let's just begin with the Trayvon Martin case. Our listeners are very divided on whether this is a case that involves race or whether this involves a fall down of law enforcement in the face of some pretty bizarre stand-your-ground laws that seem to have permitted something to happen here. LaToya, why don't you begin?
I mean, it's both. It's not one of those things you can divide. Clearly, race played a factor. Zimmerman was racial profiling. And all the accounts and all the reports, particularly from folks in his neighborhood, they're saying, look, he was targeting young black men. And since Trayvon Martin fit the bill, that's why he was pursued. It's also about kind of, I think, the application of them laws. I think that people are quick to jump and, like, you know, oh, it's about stand your ground, it's about stand your ground. But at the same time, like, if you go through firearms training, which I have, they teach you that if you pull your weapon out, you intend to use it. Like, there's no reason for someone who had a concealed weapons license to not know that he was running around with a gun with the intent to fire. Like, a gun is not a toy, and you learn that in training. And so it's really interesting to see that that part hasn't really been explored as of yet, like what kind of training Zimmerman had to have this concealed weapons license and why he would be walking around with his gun out all the time, particularly if he was in this unofficial neighborhood watch capacity.
Ibrahim Abdelmateen, what do you think hasn't been explored in the extensive national conversation on the Trayvon Martin case?
I think that there's been a lot of the conversation has been actually explored. I am interested in the intersection of this sort of the mass hoodies. So these marches where the folks are coming in with hoods and saying, listen, we are Trayvon Martin as well. And is there an intersection between that and the Occupy movement and the 99%? If you can politicize in a way beyond just civil rights, but folks that are angry about this, that if they can shift that anger into some other medium, that could be a very powerful energy, because it doesn't just touch on race, but it touches on the fact that Trayvon was a young person, he was a child, and that affects every parent in America.
But do you believe that all 17-year-olds wearing hooded sweatshirts are vulnerable in America today?
I would say, you know, it brings up the feeling as a young black man like myself of when you, it's almost like a rite of passage that you go through, that you will be falsely accused of something by someone in a position of power. Zimmerman was in a position of power because he had a gun. And in many other instances, someone else, like a police officer or someone else, is in a position of power. And as a young black male, you have to get used to that. And you have to figure out a way to navigate that. And so I think most young men, black men with hoodies in America, are definitely a suspect in some way, shape, or form.
Ron Christie.
Well, you know, my take on this is I'm just so angered by what I perceive as the incompetence of the Sanford Police Department in Florida. You know, with the way that they processed this scene, they didn't send a homicide detective. They didn't screen the alleged assailant. In other words, they didn't do a tox screen. They did a tox screen on Trayvon Martin, but they didn't do it on Zimmerman. And as a lawyer, I sit here and look and think, you know, you're allowed to use deadly force in a situation where you believe that you're in grave and imminent threat. Well, by all accounts, Zimmerman was not. He was told by the 911 dispatcher not to leave his vehicle, not to pursue this young man. He did both. And I can't think of any other circumstance in America where this wouldn't be called murder except for this stand your ground statute, which even the defenders and those architects of the stand your ground statute said it shouldn't be applied in this case because this was not a case of self-defense.
LaToya.
Totally. And I mean, I think that one of the things that we start to lose sight of a bit if we're trying to make Trayvon Martin a kind of a broader situation is that there were some really key things here that had to deal with race that I know it's uncomfortable for a lot of people to discuss, but it's, again, it's not that he was just wearing a hoodie. He was a young black male in a hoodie. And he was a young black male in a hoodie with someone who did not actually have the authority of the state behind them. You know, Zimmerman had a gun, but why should Trayvon Martin have tried to act or behave in any different manner? This guy is not bad. He's not licensed. He was like a vigilante, almost, just running around the neighborhood with a gun. That person seems unstable. Like, there was no reason for him to try to defer to authority or do any of the usual evasion tactics that we try to teach people, like when you're dealing with law enforcement, because this guy wasn't law enforcement.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, I mean, the extent to which this is all over the blogosphere and in conversation, my kids today, or yesterday, were saying he was wearing Hollister. Mm-hmm. That's not even threatening. I mean, they knew it down to that level of detail. That's how much they'd explored it. Let's shift gears for a moment. The Trayvon Martin case, of course, blew the entire political campaign off the headlines. There was a win by Mitt Romney in Illinois this week. What do you make of where things go to Louisiana?
Well, I think Louisiana Senator Santorum has a little bit of a headwind going in there. I think that the Republican establishment right now is saying enough. We've had enough of these divisive fights. We've had enough of spending money attacking Republicans. We need to coalesce around a candidate. And that candidate, whether you like it or not, with the delegate math, seems to be Mitt Romney. And let's get this over with. So looking to the weeks ahead, Romney might not win on Saturday, but I think it's almost inevitable that he'll be the Republican nominee. And then the conversation will shift, not with an Etch-a-Sketch, but the conversation will shift. And I think it'll be a much tighter race than many in the media are anticipating.
Did you have an Etch-a-Sketch when you were a little
girl? Oh, you know it, yeah. John. I still have one somewhere in the attic.
And you, Ibrahim, you have an Etch-a-Sketch?
I definitely had more than one.
More than one. Yeah, and you broke it open and made that huge mess that happens. Yeah, well, that's what boys love to do. Is there an escape, Ibrahim Abdelmateen, from the grim headlines in the NCAA tournament at this point?
Well, the great escape, well, the grim headline. Syracuse beat Wisconsin last night.
I knew you were going to say that.
It was a major, major win. I honestly, that was one of the best matchups you had, like, you know, the big defensive matchup. Two teams that grinded out, and Syracuse won. It was amazing. But also on the headlines, Cincinnati lost to Ohio State, and you had Marquette losing. I mean, you just had the big – it was in Louisville winning. You had, like, the Big East and the Big Ten going head-to-head yesterday primarily, and it's pretty even. So tonight we have some amazing games. There's lots of drama in the NCAA tournament. And Brittany Griner from Baylor, the all-star center from Baylor, she dunked on a girl in the middle of the paint the other night, and she made it look easy. So this is just a warning, and let you know, if your daughters are playing basketball, when they're going to be dunking on each other.
So look at the Brittany Griner highlight film if you're raising your daughter to play hoops. LaToya Peterson, you know, there was also the extraordinary situation in France that ended yesterday violently, that raises issues of ethnic divisions and racism in Europe. Do you think that is something that plays here in the United States as well as the suspicion that we're seeing over in Europe?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where each nation has its own unique racial history. The conversation that's happening in France around that really tragic shooting and extremism and, you know, a kind of a broader narrative over there of insiders and outsiders who, like, are true Frenchmen, has been at fever pitch. But at the same time, like, those conversations are mirrored over here as well. And we're starting to see, just particularly, like, running a site that talks about global race issues as well, we're starting to see increasing divisions along with, like, our global economic crisis. It's really interesting to see how, again, racial narratives get ratcheted up when people start feeling as though they are losing in their respective societies and who they decide to blame.
And, of course, there's a global law enforcement issue there in that the individual, Mohamed Merah, was watched by both French and NATO authorities while he was in Afghanistan and was on a U.S. no-fly list. And the question is, how many people can you watch? How many people can you actually arrest to prevent these kinds of things, especially if there are lone wolf characters out there? Let's end on the story of the bounties in the NFL, which was a terrifying story when it broke some weeks back. The NFL has taken significant action. Does this end the practice of violence in NFL football? And if so, then football goes away.
You definitely don't end the practice of violence in football. What I do think it does is that it creates a completely a shift in the balance of power in the NFC South. You have the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, and the Tampa Bay Bucks that are clapping their hands and ecstatic about this because New Orleans is not going to be a factor. What really the story does is that it really makes an example out of New Orleans in a very profound way, and it proves the premises and the dominance of the NFL head office in the wake of this whole labor scandal that we just had. So they just have asserted themselves as we're the boss.
Are you going to see Hunger Games this weekend, Ibrahim?
I probably won't see it in the New York City theater. I might see it someplace outside of New York.
And Ron, how about you?
I'm not hip enough. I need to start reading up on it first to figure out what the big buzz is all about.
LaToya, how about you? Are you in the Hunger Games game here?
Well, see, I'm a big anime fan, so I watched Battle Royale years ago, and so I'm like, eh, you kind of miss me with that. But now that the movie hype has started, I'm totally going to go see it.
And, you know, who doesn't love dystopia in the 21st century? That's it's the new black, right?
Totally.
Take care. Ibrahim Abdelmateen, Ron Christie, and LaToya Peterson, thanks so much.
Thanks
There's
a
your
lot.
Week.
Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend. And the story of Trayvon Martin will end with that. Violet from New Jersey sent us one text here. People are still divided. I look at my own life, and I see that I live among my own kind. I work with my own kind. What can we do to change those divisions? Think about that this weekend and give us a call. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Post a comment to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.